Hi there, and welcome to Session 11 of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Matt from Frugal Chicken, and in this episode we'll look at unusual breeds of chickens for your homestead, and I think we have some really cool birds to talk about, so stay with me. Now before we get started, I just want to briefly mention a company that I love, and that is Thrive Market. Why do I love them so much? Well, first off, if you don't know what Thrive Market is, it's an online organic supermarket, and it's a little like Costco meets your favorite farmer's market. I personally buy a lot of the products I can't make myself from Thrive Market, and I'm talking about products like turmeric, coconut oil, etc. Products that we use every day at home to lead healthier lives. Thrive is a membership site, and their products are anywhere from 15 to 20% cheaper than I've found elsewhere. I value my Thrive Market membership, and I love that it's a company with a conscience. As a green company committed to sustainable practices, all their products are ethically sourced, and I feel confident buying from them that I'm doing the best that I can for our environment. Now, another thing I love about Thrive Market is that for every membership they sell to someone like you or me, they give a membership to a family in need. So it really is shopping for products that you'll use anyway in a way that benefits other people too. You can join Thrive at thefrugalchicken.com/thrive, and that's an affiliate link, so thank you if you do decide to use it, and I will put that link in the show notes. So now let's get on to why we're here. Today we're going to talk a bit about unusual chicken breeds that you can have on your farm, and the great thing about these breeds is they're useful, so obviously they lay eggs, but they're also beautiful birds for their feathers, so they have a dual purpose that way. They lend quite an exotic air to any homestead, whether you live in an urban area or a rural area like I do. Now, I've kept a majority of these breeds that we talk about today on our homestead, in part for their eggs, but also, like I said, because they're beautiful birds and are just a lot of fun to have in any flock. Whether you keep chickens for their usefulness or just keep them as companions or anywhere in between, these breeds are probably for you. So what are these breeds we're going to discuss today? I'm glad you asked. They are Turkins, also known as Naked Necks, Blue Copper Morans, Cuckoo Morans, and I Am Samanis, which are the chickens that are completely black. So let's dive in and start with Naked Necks. For the longest time, I kind of poo-pooed this breed, largely because of their looks. I found the Naked Neck kind of too bizarre for my tastes, and I never really considered them. All that changed when I received them as quote-unquote packing peanuts in a group of meat chickens I'd ordered from a hatchery. Now, if you don't know what packing peanuts are or what that means in terms of chickens, they're extra chickens, usually roosters, that hatcheries send to either keep the other chicks warm that you've ordered or to make up for chicks that die en route so that the customer gets their full order, or they're chicks the hatchery is just looking to get rid of to reduce their inventory. So I got these Naked Neck chicks, and I was pretty stunned when I got them in the first place, considering that they're, you know, a pretty rare breed, especially in the United States. And really, to be honest, as soon as I pulled them out of the box, I was actually really excited to see them. For the record, I'm quite certain that all the Naked Necks I got in the mail that day, they're all roosters. They're only about 13 to 16 weeks old, and I can't really remember how old they are off the top of my head, but they're actually some pretty cool guys. While as chicks they look really funny, they have tufts of fuzz at the top of their head, and then the back of their necks are completely free of fuzz or feathers or anything. They're completely just skin. It's naked. Obviously, their feathers have grown out now, but the rest of their body is covered in feathers. So the picture that these Turkins paint, it's a pretty weird picture, but they've really made great additions to my flock so far. And the largest advantage of the roosters that I can see so far, aside from their easygoing personalities, is the Naked Necks would make it very easy to clean and butcher them. So for a homestead looking for birds that grow a good weight, are hardy, and who might be a little concerned about being able to butcher humanely, the Naked Neck might be a good choice for you. Sometimes when butchering, the feathers can get in the way, and there's no issues with that when it comes to Naked Necks. So what's the deal with this breed? Let's talk a little bit about its history and how it came to be. According to Wikipedia, the Naked Necks were originally from Transylvania, but were largely developed in Germany. The name Turkin is a misnomer, and that's because people used to believe that the chickens were derived from a cross between a turkey and a chicken, but obviously that's not the case here. The Naked Neck was recognized by the American Poultry Association in 1965, according to that organization's website. The trait for the naked neck is a dominant gene, so if you breed a naked neck with a feather neck chicken, some of the offspring will have naked necks. Now, the really interesting thing about this breed is that a study performed in France in 2006 showed that naked necks, either purebloods or those mixed with a slow-growing breed, like a heritage breed, for example, were more efficient with their feed, grew larger, and were healthier than regular broilers, such as a Cornish cross. They were also able to better withstand the heat, but the most striking aspect of the study was that the naked necks grew better and required less feed, largely because of their naked necks. Now, of course, I'll put a link to that study in the show notes, which you can access at thefrugalchicken.com/podcast11, all one word. The Turkin roosters get to be about 8.5 pounds, while the hens get to be around 6.5 pounds, and that's from the Oklahoma State University records, and that's a good size for a meat bird. So if you're looking for a breed that would be a good all-purpose bird that's a non-hybrid or chicken to raise for meat, the Turkin, also known as a naked neck, is a great one to consider. The next breed we'll talk about today are Blue Copper Morans, and I've raised them on our homestead for about 2 years now. Just a brief history of the Morans. They're derived from the French town of Moran, which is in western France. Now, from Wikipedia, Morans are derived from local feral chickens that were descended from fighting game chickens carried from Indonesia and India. And that's a little bit about the history of the bird. They were improved as meat birds by pairing the feral birds with crude Langshans. The Moran was developed as a dual-purpose fowl, known for both eggs and meat, and according to some French chefs, it's the best chicken meat available. Now, I've heard the name pronounced both Moran and Moran. I tend to go back and forth between them. The French town itself is actually pronounced Moran, but in America, you know, we tend to Americanize words a little bit. So about a couple of years ago, I got bit with the exotic breed bug and hopped on the Moran bandwagon after learning their eggs were so highly prized in France for their quality that some chefs will only use eggs from the Black Copper Moran chickens. While I've had trouble finding quality Black Copper Morans in my area, I try to buy my laying birds locally, and so I've had great luck with finding Blue Copper Morans locally. And let me tell you, these are some of the most beautiful and most colorful birds you can raise on your farm. The males and females of the Blue Copper Morans, they look quite different, and of course the roosters are much more colorful. They're gray birds with varying shades of gray in their plumage, but the roosters also have gold and red feathers, both as saddle feathers and on their necks. Both males and females have feathered legs. Now, according to the Morans of America Club, the Blue Copper Morans are a variety as old as the Moran breed itself, and because the Blue Morans don't breed true, it means that they can come in a variety of shades of gray or blue, but also will have the red and gold feathers. If the genetics of these birds interest you, you can read more about it at the Morans of America Club website, and I'll put a link in the show notes. The hens lay wonderful, large, dark brown eggs, although their eggs can range anywhere from a light brown to a dark, dark chocolate color, almost like a chocolate lab color. One hen that we have also lays speckled eggs, so the eggs are a dark brown with darker brown speckles. They're really quite lovely, and I recommend Blue Copper Morans as a laying breed. Largely, they're healthy birds. We've had about 10 on the farm, and most have made it well into adulthood. The hens are not the friendliest birds. They're definitely not lap chickens, but the roosters are quite friendly, and we've had two Blue Copper Moran roosters that have enjoyed human company and that allow us to pick them up and pet them. So it's really remarkable the difference between the two genders of the birds that we have. Now, the hens don't lay as efficiently as a production red, for example, and mine seems sensitive to their protein intake and to the heat, requiring more protein than a production red and laying less in the heat. But your experience might differ, and honestly, when it comes to these heritage breeds, it's not reasonable to expect them to lay like an industrial hybrid might, like a production red. I think it's more important to enjoy them for what they are, a really cool breed that lays really cool looking eggs on a very regular basis. Like I said, we keep Blue Copper Morans largely for their dark eggs and beauty. So the third unusual chicken breed that we'll talk about today are Cuckoo Morans, which in reality are a type of Morans, but for the sake of our podcast today, we'll talk about them separately from the Blue Copper Morans. And it's mainly because they look quite different And I think their personalities are different too. We've had a few cuckoo morans here, and largely they're very friendly birds with a more of a pet mentality, I found, than our blue copper morans hens. Like the blue copper morans, the cuckoo morans lay dark brown eggs. Unlike the blue copper morans, however, the cuckoo morans look quite different. They have the barring gene in them, so they look similar to a Plymouth Rock hen. So if you want a dark-laying breed and want to try something different, cuckoo morans might be for you. Like other morans, the eggs from the cuckoo morans can range from a medium light brown to a dark chocolate brown, and they lay an egg nearly every day. Like other morans, I have found that the cuckoo morans is less efficient in how they use feed, so they need to eat more and are more susceptible to not laying if their protein intake isn't high enough. So if you do keep a cuckoo moran, it's important to watch their feed intake, and if they don't lay or not as productive, then you'll need to increase the amount of feed that they eat or use a higher protein feed. Something like a handful a day of mealworms for every 4 chickens would probably be sufficient, but again, you need to keep a close watch on your flock because every bird is different. I hope that makes sense. So as far as a meat chicken goes, cuckoo morans are a great choice and are highly prized in Europe for the quality of their meat. Males can reach about 9 pounds, which is excellent for a meat chicken, while a hen will reach about 7 pounds. So the cuckoo morans are a great dual-purpose breed. Now, when it comes to egg color, obviously cuckoo morans are prized for the color of their eggshells. So because the dark eggs are so highly prized, sources show that especially vitamin K and calcium can have some limited help with keeping the dark brown eggshell color, according to Cackle Hatchery. So here are some interesting facts about morans, and these apply to black copper, blue copper, and cuckoo morans. Now, morans obviously come in different quote-unquote breeds, but a breed isn't considered a true morans unless it consistently lays a number 4 brown egg. So what does this mean? Well, to preserve the best qualities of the breed, a color chart was developed in France, scaling the color of morans eggs from a 1 to 10 based on how dark the brown color is. So I hope that makes sense. So they have this darkness scale developed in France, and unless the breed lays at least a number 4 dark brown egg, they're not considered a true morans breed, which tells you something of how important preserving this particular quality of the breed is. So in the show notes, I'll put a copy of the scale, and again, you can access these notes at thefrugalchicken.com/podcast11. So when grading these eggs, the French wait until the hen has laid a dozen eggs. And the reason for this is that the first few eggs a hen can lay can remain in the oviduct longer as her body acclimates to producing eggs. So the first few eggs a hen produces might be darker than she's able to produce for the rest of her life. To preserve the accuracy of the scale and to help with breeding decisions, it became necessary to wait until the hen lays a dozen eggs. So this is some pretty interesting stuff. Our morans lay regularly about a 5 to a 7 on this darkness scale, depending on the bird, and we have one that probably lays about an 8. The thing about cuckoo morans and morans in general is every single egg won't be the exact same color, but their ability to produce the dark brown color waxes and wanes over their life. So the last breed we'll talk about today are the Iam Samanis. There are many unusual breeds you can have on your homestead, but today we're just going to stick to 4 for the sake of time. So we're talking about the Iam Samanis because they're gaining popularity in the U.S., in part because of their color and of their exoticness as a bird, for lack of a better word, and in part because true Iam Samanis are very expensive, and they've gained a cult following in this country for these two reasons. So what's the deal with this breed? So the Iam Samani originated on the island of Java in Indonesia, and they're prized in that country for their mystical powers and are an important part of traditional culture there. They were first brought to Europe in 1998 by a Dutch breeder and grew in popularity there. The Iam Samanis are pure black, including their organs, muscles, etc. The reason these chickens are pure black is because of a genetic condition called fibromelanosis, which is caused by a mutation that affects how pigment-producing cells work. So a study done in Sweden in 2011 looked at 4 chicken breeds with characteristically dark skin. These breeds were Silkies from China, which are pretty popular in the U.S., the Iam Samani from Indonesia, the Black Hmong from Vietnam, and the Svartona from Sweden. And basically, they were trying to understand why some chickens evolved with this black gene and how it works. So a gene called endothelin 3, as EDN3, was involved in the regulation of melanocyte cells, which produce pigments. So these researchers found around 10 times as much EDN3 was expressed in the skin of adult black chickens than in other breeds. So the bottom line here is that the gene that regulates pigmentation is an overdrive in the Iam Simoni, which results in the black coloring. So that's kind of the nerdy scientific explanation about why the Iam Simoni look the way that they do. And I probably butchered that pretty good, but hopefully you guys were able to, keep up with me. Now, a true Iam Simoni will be a true black. So its head will be black, its feet will be black, its tongue, etc. And any chicken that does not display this quality is a hybrid. Now, if you want to keep Iam Simoni on your farm, you'll probably have to pay quite a bit for your chickens, and I highly suggest that you do your research and buy from a reputable source. The reason for this is I've seen quote-unquote Iam Simoni chickens for sale on eBay and they're hatching eggs, and an unsuspecting buyer could easily pay purebred prices for a hybrid chicken. So I don't personally have any sellers I recommend, but I do encourage you to do your homework. If you want to keep Iam Simoni on your farm, you can do so for the eggs or the meat. They are chickens after all. But the real value seems to be in the breeding. And if you're looking for a way to bring income to your homestead or just want to have a cool chicken that you can keep on your farm, Iam Simonis might be the way to go. So Iam Simonis, being so intertwined with Indonesian and some other Eastern cultures, is highly valued for its traditional relevance. In some countries, for example, when a bank opens, an Iam Simoni chicken might be butchered in a good luck ceremony, and the darker the chicken, meaning the more black it is, the stronger its powers of good fortune. So some sellers in the U.S. have been able to cash in on this breed for those reasons. We've considered keeping Iam Simonis on our farm, but the cost for a true black Simoni is so high that for right now it just doesn't fit our personal goals. So the interesting thing here is that they're a chicken that has a third purpose on a farm besides eggs and meat. So I hope this episode has given you some ideas for unusual chickens that you can keep on your homestead. I'd love to hear about the chickens that you keep on your farm or want to keep on your farm, so there's something I want you to do. I would love it if you dropped me a line at editor@thefrugalchicken.com to tell me what unusual breeds you raise and why. Now, if raising unusual breeds is something that interests you, but you're concerned about how to best feed them so that they're productive and lay nourishing eggs, as can sometimes be the case with these rare breeds, you'll want to check out my new course, Feeding Your Hens Right, which you can see at feedingyourhensright.com. In this course, you'll learn how to feed your chickens so that they can get an optimal diet and lay the most nourishing eggs possible. As we grow increasingly sophisticated in understanding where our food comes from, and the repercussions of eating poor quality food, it's important to understand how your hen's diet affects the quality of her eggs. Anybody who has a wheat allergy and can't eat eggs will understand what I mean. A friend recently told me that if she feeds her hens a wheat-based diet, her son, who is wheat intolerant, will get sick. So that right there is proof that a hen's diet does affect the quality of her eggs, and studies have shown the exact same thing. If feeding your family the most nutritious food possible is important to you, then you'll want to check out my course. It's a 5-video workshop that you can access at any time. There's specific recipes for homemade feed that can be tailored to your particular needs, and you'll learn how to raise a happy, healthy flock of chickens. The URL for that course, again, is feedingyourhensright.com, all one word, and I'll put that link in the show notes. Thanks for listening to this episode of What the Cluck, and I'll see you next time.